This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to eBay.com. Muhammad Rasulullah
alayhi salatullah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد Respected listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته It gives me great pleasure to be with you all once again this Saturday, the 19th of August 2006 as we go through the chapter of Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام Now, in the last lesson that we had, we stopped at the point whereby the drinking cup of the king, this goblet was found in the bag of Binyamin. Remember, the cup was reported missing and the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam were accused of stealing this goblet. Why? Because obviously they were from a foreign land, they were the only foreign group that was obviously in the vicinity and thus very quickly fingers were pointed to them. Now they had nothing to hide, they weren't guilty of anything and they stood up and defended their rights and we went through the part whereby they were saying that listen, we haven't stolen anything and then they were asked and said that what would be the punishment for the one who is actually stolen. So they themselves dictated the punishment. They said, okay, if any one of us has stolen, then the punishment for the person who has stolen is that he becomes a slave of you people, so he remains behind. And remember, we said that the ulama taught us that the law that was practiced in that time, that if anyone was caught stealing, then they would be deported. If they were from a foreign land, then they would be deported to that land. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفَ This is how we planned for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ He couldn't or he wouldn't have managed to take his brother or keep his brother with him except with the permission and wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah planned it in such a way that the brothers actually dictated and suggested a punishment or a possible punishment for the one who actually stole the drinking cup of the king, this precious goblet, and it was found in the bag of Binyamin. Now when this goblet was found in the bag of Binyamin, what happened? They immediately washed their hands of Binyamin. Remember, we stopped at the ayah whereby they said, قَالُوا إِيَّسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ They just washed their hands totally of Binyamin and in fact, in the same breath, they just insulted Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam because they said that if he's stolen, then it's nothing new. Why? Because his brother has stolen before him. They didn't realize that they were actually talking to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam himself. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously the patient person that he was, he exercised that patience. Obviously, he had a plan in place. He wasn't going to blow his cover. He just kept it to himself. He didn't get angry. He didn't lash out. Of course, many of us, without even questioning, if somebody had to accuse us in that particular manner, especially after they wronged us time and time again, they got rid of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They're accusing Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam of stealing, yet they stole Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from his father, from in front of his own father. Never mind stealing material things. They stole a human being. They took an innocent human being, they stole him from in front of the eyes of his loving father and got rid of him in the most evil of ways. So they are the guilty party. And on top of that, whilst being guilty, they say that, well, if Binyamin has stolen, then his brother had stolen before him. So this shows the great patience that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had. He just kept calm, kept cool. He had a plan in place and he was being patient and waiting for that plan to take its course. So what did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam say? And remember, I said that the ulama of tafsir mentioned that he said it to himself. Because had he said what he said aloud, then his cover would have been blown. So after they said that if Binyamin has stolen, his brother Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam stole before. فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam kept everything within himself. And he did not reveal it to them. He didn't reveal anything. He didn't answer them in regards to this accusation that they made of him. And this teaches us also that in certain circumstances, you are allowed to keep quiet. You are allowed not to defend yourself. Obviously, temporarily, meaning you don't just not defend yourself totally, but for this temporary moment in time, I won't defend myself. Why? Because you have a maslaha, you have a bigger benefit to gain from afterwards. So with hikmah, with wisdom, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam kept it to himself. And then he said to himself, قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. He said to himself that you are in a worse position and worse situation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most knowing of what you describe. Now, the brothers obviously took an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to Binyamin. They are in a predicament right now. So many years ago, they got rid of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They caused so much hurt to their father. And now after taking an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their father made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the witness over the oath that they took, they are in a predicament. Now, this Binyamin who they promised they would bring back to Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam is here, or will have to remain behind as a slave. He would have to remain behind with the minister of Egypt. Obviously, they didn't know it was Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ إِنَّ لَهُ أَبًا شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا فَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانًا إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Subhanallah. They said, oh Aziz, and remember, they're referring to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam as Aziz. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, first when he was bought as a slave in Egypt, who bought him? Aziz, the minister of Egypt. So the ulama of tafsir also mentioned that this shows us or guides us to know that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam might have taken over his job in particular, because now he was being referred to as Aziz. So they said, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they said, oh Aziz, indeed he has a father who is an old man, so take one of us in his place. Subhanallah. They offered to swap. They said, look, take one of us in the place of Binyamin. So this shows that to a certain extent they did change their ways, because they're offering one of their own selves in place of Binyamin. They're saying that, look, we have a father, he's an old man. They are remembering the time when they caused so much hurt to him when they got rid of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and they're remembering the oath that they took by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their father. And they remembered that the father made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a witness. So now they are in a predicament. So they say, listen, O Aziz, O minister, obviously they saw goodness in Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They didn't know it was him, but they saw goodness in this minister. They thought, let us try and negotiate. Let us try and convince him to take one of us, and let us take Binyamin with us back home. At least it would be a better excuse to their father that, look, something happened, but here's Binyamin, he's here, but we sacrificed one of us over there. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. He sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did he seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because obviously the accused was who? Was Binyamin. Now, if he had given Binyamin back to them and taken somebody who was not accused in the place of Binyamin, then that would be oppression. So what does he say? Ma'adh Allah. An na'khudha illa man wajadna mata'ana inda. Inna idha la zalimun. This is showing his justice. Obviously, there was a plan that he had in place, but in reality, he was also being just. He said that I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we take a person other than the person who we found our possessions with. And look at the words of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He didn't say, I cannot take the one who didn't steal and let the one who stole go. He didn't say the one who stole and the one who didn't steal. He chose his words appropriately. Why? Because he knew nobody stole. So what did he say? He said, إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَدْنَا مَتَاعَنَا إِنْدَ. Except the one who we found our goods and property with. Because remember, the goblet was found with Binyamin. So he didn't call him a thief. He said, I can only take the person who our property was found with. So he chose his words perfectly, precisely. Why? He knew that that Binyamin wasn't the thief. And if we remember, when we spoke about the time when a caller called out and accused these brothers of stealing, he actually said, أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. The caller accused them of stealing. And we did say this shows us that the caller wasn't aware of the plan of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, because if he was aware, he wouldn't have referred to them as thieves. So because he wasn't aware of the plan, and they suspected, and he suspected that this goblet was in their parcel and in their package, he announced them as thieves. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam knows that these are not thieves. It was his plan, and the goblet was placed in Binyamin's bag, so he didn't say, I cannot let the thief go and take one of you. He said, I cannot let the one in whose luggage this goblet was found go. He chose his words appropriately, again teaching us the importance of choosing our words, especially in business, respected listeners. It is extremely easy to make a halal transaction haram, extremely easy, just by not watching how we speak. We very easily can lie and immediately make a halal transaction haram. And we did speak about the aspect of one lying in regards to his cost price before. So we need to make sure that we watch our words properly. We watch what we say properly, not only in business, in everything that we do. When dealing with one another, with problems in the home, out of the home, with our children, when discussing with one another, we need to make sure that we look after our words. We are constantly guarded by angels who write down everything we say and do. So we have to make sure that we look after these words, monitor ourselves, and speak that which is true, and speak that which is just, and speak that which is appropriate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to guard our tongues. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam seeks protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Ma'ad Allah, I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. I cannot give you Binyamin. Obviously he didn't say Binyamin, but he said, I cannot give you the one who is the one whose luggage we found this goblet in, and take one of you in his place. If we do this, then we will be from amongst those who are unjust. We will be from amongst those who oppress. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيًّا قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفَ. So what happens? Now they secluded themselves. They were in despair. They immediately had to have a meeting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the big amongst them, he played the role of a bigger brother, got them together and said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا, do you not know, أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ, do you not know that your father has taken upon you an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Subhanallah. He is playing the role of an elder brother. He's advising them that, listen people, we are in a predicament over here. This is a big problem. We shouldn't just take it as lightly. Just before that, they just said that, listen, if Binyamin stole, then his brother stole before. They weren't willing to accommodate the situation. They were willing to wash their hands off it. He gets them together and says, get your act together. Do you not know that we took an oath with our father that we were going to bring him back? مِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفْ. And he's reminding them about what happened with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. That we failed in our duty with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now we've taken an oath. Are we going to fail again? Now, what we should learn and note from this ayah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinctly mentions the activity and actions of the big brother. He points out that it was the big brother who spoke out. Now, if we recall, I know it was a long time ago, but at the beginning of the surah, when the brothers initially planned to kill Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ. He said, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ. That somebody from amongst them said. Now, I did mention that the ulama of tafsir said that that someone from amongst them, meaning the oldest brother, said. So the ulama of tafsir explained that it was the older brother who was speaking. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say it was the older brother. He just said, قَالَ قَائِنٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Why? In that circumstance, they were planning something wrong. So why mention the name of the person who did it and spoil his name? Subhanallah. Look at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, the brother, the oldest brother, is playing his role as a brother. He is doing good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ. He acknowledges him, he mentions his name, he says the oldest brother is the one who got things together, gathered up the rest of the brothers, and had a meeting with them. At the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him unknown. Why? Because he didn't play his role as a bigger brother. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and once again, the power in the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinctively teaching us here how to cover up the sins and the low points and the low moments of our Muslim brothers. Don't just go out there and advertise the low moments of our Muslim brothers' lives, the low moments in their lives, that which they experience, the bad which they may have done. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here covers his aib, covers the big brother's defect. He didn't play a role as a big brother, so Allah didn't say the big brother didn't play his role. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just said, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ, that a sayyah from amongst them said, somebody from amongst them said, don't kill Yusuf, if you must do something, throw him in the well. That wasn't a praiseworthy thing, so Allah kept him unknown. But here, he played his role as a big brother. He did something praiseworthy, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ. So this is something we should note, the importance of hiding the bad qualities of others. The importance of hiding the bad qualities and low moments of others. How apt is the choice of words in the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, after he says, مِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفْ, that we failed with Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. The big brother says, and this is courageous of him, after telling them that, do you not know you took an oath with your father? You know, after we also had failed with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, I will never leave this land until my father permits me, or until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for me. Subhanallah. And he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of judges. So what does he do? He is willing to sacrifice himself. He is playing the role of the bigger brother. He's saying, listen, if Binyamin can't go, I will stay behind with him. You guys carry on back. I will not return unless and until my father allows me to, or until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides me to. The ulama of tafsir have mentioned that by him saying my father allows me to, meaning my father understands the situation and he forgives the situation and he accepts that I come back. And when he says that until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits me to, meaning until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows Binyamin to be released. So I'm not returning unless my father allows me to, or unless I have Binyamin with me, then only will I come home. So we learn from this the aspect that I discussed before, that no matter how much bad we see in a person, there are always good points. Remember, these brothers did bad. They did bad, but there is good in them. Look at here how the big brother is willing. He's willing to stay behind, sacrifice himself. Why? Because he understands the oath that he took with his father. And he understands the seriousness of the problem. And he understands that this is his younger brother. So he says, listen, he tells the rest of the caravan that you guys better carry on. Irji'u ila abikum faqulu ya abana inna ibnaka saraq. وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظٍ. He says, return to your father and say, O our father, indeed your son has stolen. And we did not testify except what we know. We wouldn't have believed that he could have stolen or he would have stolen except that we found him with the golden cup, with the goblet, or with the drinking cup of the king. So if we didn't find him with it, we wouldn't have believed them. However, we found Binyamin with that cup, and thus we are telling you that he has stolen. So the big brother is saying, go and tell our father that, listen, Binyamin has actually stolen. And we wouldn't testify to it, you know, unless we were pretty sure, and we are sure, we actually saw them removing this goblet from his bag. So they say that we'll not testify except what we know, and we were not witnesses of the unseen, meaning وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ. We don't know the unseen. We couldn't have imagined that this boy would go and do that. It was, I mean, if you asked us to think of the worst thing that could have happened, not one of us could have said that Binyamin would steal. So we're telling you the reality. The big brother is saying, go home and explain to our father the reality, that this is what happened, and we don't know the unseen. We couldn't have imagined that this boy could have done something like this. We learn from this that we should testify to that which we know. The fact that the brothers are saying here that we only testify because we saw the cup being taken from his bag. In fact, they said that we do not testify except to what we know. That is the exact translation of the ayah. They're saying we do not testify except to that which we know. This teaches us what? That we should only testify to that which we know. We shouldn't stand up and take a qasam by Allah and be a witness to a crime that we didn't actually witness. Or we take a qasam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that which we really don't know about, we weren't involved in, we're just there to support evil, we're just there to be oppressive, and a person who takes a qasam and takes witness to that which he hasn't witnessed, there's nothing we can say about him except that he is being an oppressor. So we learn from this ayah that we should only testify to that which we know. وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. He says, tell our father that he may ask the city in which we were, meaning Egypt, and the caravan in which we came. And indeed we are truthful. Remember, those days they would travel in a large group. So many families together make up a caravan, or so many different groups together, they make up a caravan and they would travel together. So they are coming with, or they're telling their father that, listen, after we're telling you that Binyamin stole, authenticate this information by asking the people of the city that we were in and asking the caravan that we were with, you know, about us. Were we people who were negligent? Were we people who actually mean harm? Were we trying to get rid of Binyamin? Ask them. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. And indeed we are truthful. Now look how much they have to tell their father over here. They are truthful over here. This is not a lie. They are truthful. Binyamin, in his bag, the goblet was found. He was accused of stealing. They had to leave him behind. But now they are innocent. They are honest. But they have to tell their father so much more. Why? Because of the evil they did at the beginning. At the beginning, they were lying. And they came and used emotional politics and blackmail and came with forged evidence to try and make their father believe their ways. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, as a prophet, knew that there was more to it than that. And he said, Sabrun Jamil, I have and I will have a beautiful patience. Now over here, they are honest, they are truthful. What they're telling their father is in reality true. But they have to come up with so much more. You know, if you don't believe us, ask the people of the city that we were in and ask the caravan that we were in. And our father, we are telling you without doubt that we are truthful. We are not lying. So what does Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam say? قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Look at the words of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wassalam. The same words which he uttered at the time when he received the news that Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam was missing. The same things that he said it here again. He said, rather, your souls have enticed you to do something. Your souls, your subhanAllah, your nafs has enticed you to do something. So patience is the most fitting thing for me. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Remember at the time when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was reported eaten by a wolf, what did he say? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I will have a beautiful patience. Again, الاستغراق في لحظة حاضرة. Here Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam composes himself. He holds himself together. He doesn't drown in the heat of the moment. He doesn't let the moment get the better of him. He keeps himself calm and he says, rather your souls have enticed you to do something. So patience is the most fitting thing. And this again teaches us an important lesson, that if somebody has a bad reputation and they mean well, and afterwards what happens, they come or they make a mistake and now they try to justify the mistake, it can be difficult for them to actually win that case and win the hearts of the person that they have made that mistake to. It's possible. I mean, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam is still thinking of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. I mean, this young boy who was so beloved to him is gone. He was supposed to go play with his brothers and they come back and say that he's eaten by a wolf. And now, Binyamin, I feared so much for them to take him. And then I made them take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a witness to the whole agreement between us. And now they're coming and telling me that Binyamin also is lost and that he's stolen. And remember, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam knew Binyamin. He knew the character of Binyamin. He knew that this boy isn't a thief. This boy is not capable of doing this thing which they have accused him of doing. Obviously, he is guilty. Well, not actually guilty, but he is part of the plan of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The goblet is found, but according to Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, this boy can't do it. And according to Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, the rest of these brothers, it is capable for them to do wrong. Why? Because they have done it before. Then what does Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam say? Asallahu an ya'tiyani bihim jami'a. Innahu huwa al-alimul hakim. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. What a loving father. Can we imagine the situation Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam is? Subhanallah. Can we even try and comprehend the situation that Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam is in? He is now minus two sons, minus three sons. Why the oldest brother also stayed behind? He has every right to lose his mind, every right to go mad, every right to lose his senses, every right to become depressed. I mean, who wouldn't go into a state of depression, of intense sadness, after you don't lose one son, not two sons, but three sons? Subhanallah. And you lost three sons, and the news that came to you about them, you don't believe the way they've been lost. You know that there is foul play over here. According to Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, there's foul play even in regards to Binyamin. So can you imagine the state that he is in? It is very easy for someone in this moment to do what? To fall prey to what? Istighraq fi lahdatin hadira. To let the moment get the better of him. To let himself drown in the heat of the moment. To actually lose his senses. Subhanallah, three children gone. He says, I will have a beautiful patience. My trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, Asallahu ayyatiyani bihim jami'a. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them all to me. Subhanallah, he's talking about all his three children. He's not talking about one, he's not talking about the other one, he's not talking about the third. Even though, you know, he's in a state of shock, he remembers all three sons. And remember, the big one was from amongst those who got rid of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam at the beginning. Even with that, he makes dua for all of them, that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to me with all my children. Subhanallah, three of his sons away, and he says, I will be patient. What iman Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam possessed? What good thoughts did he have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What optimism? Once again, respected listeners, my dear mothers, my dear fathers, my dear brothers and sisters, do our problems come close to that which Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam went? Do our problems come close to the trials and tribulations that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam suffered? They held themselves together. They went through every test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal raised them in rank and continued raising them. And this should be hope for us. This should be a lesson for us. This should be something that encourages us to pick ourselves up. We may have gone through a divorce. We may have lost a loved one. We may have put on a bit of weight because of depression. We may have lost hope in the dunya. We may have shaitan spinning us right and left, making us lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let this be a lesson for us, that no matter what we are going through, people before us went through much worse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through much worse. So much testing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him at the time when he went to Ta'if. Remember when the surah was revealed? It was revealed to lift the spirits of the Muslims at the time. And I said at the beginning that it was revealed at a time towards the end of the Meccan period, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually returned from Ta'if. After they mocked at him, after they jeered at him, after they stoned him, blood was pouring from his body. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in the story of Yusuf to make him optimistic, to optimize him and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Let this be a time that we become optimistic. All the troubles we have, we push it aside and we place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have a beautiful patience, and we know that the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only happening to us. Why? Because He loves us, and the dunya is a place of testing, and for a believer is the akhirah, and the akhirah is forever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Then Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam says, innahu huwa al-alim al-hakim. Subhanallah, innahu huwa al-alim al-hakim. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knowing and He's most wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where my children is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise. He knows why He's testing me like this. My patience is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَى عَلَى يُوسُفْ وَبِيَضَّتْ أَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. And he turned away from them. Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam turned away from his children. He went to a secluded area. He sat by himself and he said, قَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسَفْ وَبْيَضَّتْ أَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. Akhuwak Azim. Oh, my sorrow over Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is remembering Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now he's lost Binyamin and he's lost his oldest son. All the losses that he has suffered is reminding him of the first loss which he suffered. The loss of who? Of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, oh, my sorrow over Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And his eyes became white from obviously extreme sadness. And as a result, he lost his sight from the grief, and he was of that a suppressor. Meaning, he suppressed it. He didn't go out to his children and cry out his sadness. He was a human being. It is out of human nature that one actually feels sad. So this shows us that you are allowed to feel sad over your losses. You are a human being. You can feel, someone passes away, you feel sad. When the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he was also sad. So being sad is from the nature of mankind, from the nature of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So this teaches us that you can be sad. What is not allowed in Islam is that you start wailing and you start screaming and you start tearing your shirts and you start becoming a person who is out of control and you start saying, Ya Allah, why me? Why are you doing this to me? What did I do to deserve this? These are all things which are serious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make sure that we never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam here, what does he do? He turns away from them and he says, oh, my sorrow over Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. His eyes became white because of the grief that he was feeling for the loss of his children, but he was a suppressor of his feelings. He didn't go there and let it out. He kept it to himself. Qalu tallahi tafta'u tadhkuru Yusuf. So what did the son say? They said, by Allah, you still remember Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you still remember Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Hatta takuna haradan aw takuna min al-halikin. Listen to what the children are telling their father. They said that you will remember Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam until you become fatally ill or become of those who are halikin, from those who have perished. I mean, how long are you going to remember Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam for? It's so long. It's 30 years, more than 30 years now. What are you still remembering him for? Are you going to continue to remember him until you become crazy, until you become mental, until you become sick, or until you even die? Now, what was the aim when these brothers got rid of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the first place? Their aim was to get Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam to forget about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They said that if we get him away from Ya'qub alayhi salam, then he will forget about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Their plan here shows that it totally backfired against them. After so many years, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, or he's declaring how much he misses Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya asafa ala Yusuf. Oh, my sorrow over Yusuf. Such beautiful words in the Arabic language, and you'll only understand the effect of the statement of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam if you understand it in the Arabic language. So this is what they are telling their father. Now obviously we did say that Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam suppressed his feelings. He didn't show it in front of them, but he could have told them that, listen, you know what, I'm thinking of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and thus they responded. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he was a suppressor, he did not express the extent of his grief or his anger at what he suspected of his sons or what he suspected his sons had done. He was patient, depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't go and show his feelings totally out there to his children. He went away from them and he spoke of his sorrow and he suppressed that which he was feeling. And as I said, this teaches us that you are allowed to feel sad. It is the human nature to feel sad. However, don't go overboard. Don't show everybody what you're feeling. Keep it between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best listener. In fact, the person whose shoulder you cry on, that person also needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to them. So why not go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly? So they tell their father that, our father, I mean, how much longer are you going to remember Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam for? Binyamin is gone. The oldest brother is gone. And you're still talking about Yusuf? Are you going to carry on until you become mentally ill or until you die? And as I said, their plan backfired. In fact, he only remembered Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam more, and he felt for his son more, subhanallah. So this teaches us that evil doesn't ever win. Never ever plan evil and think that you will be successful. Remember the ayah I said the other day, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُصْلِحُ عَمَلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not support the way of those who do wrong. He doesn't make that which those who do wrong successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never. It is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُصْلِحُ عَمَلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam responds by saying, I only complain of my suffering and my grief to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know from Allah that which you do not know. He's saying that I'm saying all these things, but I'm not complaining to you. It doesn't mean that you might have heard me that I'm actually speaking to you. I am only complaining, and meaning I'm only declaring my suffering to one Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know from Allah that which you do not know. So there's no, meaning he's explaining to them that listen, I am, even if you did hear me speak about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, there's no need for you to tell me how long are you going to remember Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam for. I am complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am expressing my suffering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which you do not know. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي. You know, bathi, my suffering, my grief, wahuzni, my sadness. You know the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, you have to understand this in the Arabic language to actually feel exactly what is being expressed. And I did mention that the Quran has this exquisite ability to describe. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes events in such detail that when you read it and understand it properly, you can actually get a feeling of the seriousness of the event or the reality of the situation that it's actually describing. And this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his narration. وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And I know from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which you know not. We learn how important it is, respected listeners, to seek solace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, we can't even imagine what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is going through here. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, what he went through, and Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, what he's going through. We can't imagine the grief of a father. And, you know, the fathers who might be listening to this broadcast, I mean, you, alhamdulillah, you have your children with you. Just imagine for one moment that your child is lost somewhere in Joburg. In Joburg, never mind exported to a foreign land, and now 30-something years has gone, and now another two children go away. Never mind a father, even a mother. We can't imagine what a parent can go through and what Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam is going through. But what does he do? He pours his heart. He's a human being. He feels the emotions. Who does he pour his heart to? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, we go out of our way in pouring our hearts to people. And if we're not careful, we speak to people who enjoy that we are in a predicament. And this is a fact. We make sure that every person we see, we make sure that we tell them of the sufferings that we are having, the problems that we have at home. We advertise the difficulties in the home to everybody outside the home. And as I said, if we don't be careful, to people who actually love that we have problems in the home, and this is a fact, respected elders and brothers, my dear mothers, my dear sisters, instead of crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, seeking help from one Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, why do we want to go out and make everybody aware of our situation? And we have people like that. I've come across them personally. Every single person they see, they choose to pour their hearts out, the problems that they are going through to them. And in reality, their problem never gets easier. It never improves. It only gets worse. Why? Because they're pouring their hearts to people who also pour their hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who have to pour their hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why not go straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Instead of going to people, seek assistance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in people. Yes, you might feel that I need someone to talk to get this off my chest. Make sure it is a person who you can trust, a person who wishes good for you, a person who is going to make dua for you, not go out and tell tales about you. So we need to find solace in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not, you know, losing hope at the first moment that we get, and then rush to the pharmacist and the doctors, and then request medication from them, sleeping tablets. As I said, can we actually narrate and relate our problems to the problems that Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam went through and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? So before we decide to pop a pill of Prozac in our bodies to deal with the depressions, let us first take medication in turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how? with a lot of patience, with a lot of conviction. Don't put your hands up and merely say, Ya Allah, help me, but your heart is not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Place your heart sincerely with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. Know and understand that you and I will be tested. It is a fact of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that He will test us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that it is enough for them just to say, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you think it's enough for you just to say, I believe, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to leave you alone? You will be tested, and if Allah tests you, He loves you. And the reason why I am stressing on this point, on the point of depression and anxiety and trials and tribulations and how we should deal with it, is because today a lot of Muslims are complaining from this, from sleepless nights caused by depression, from overweight caused by depression, from low quality of life caused by depression. My dear mothers, my dear sisters, my dear brothers, my dear elders, let us get ourselves together. Let us take a grip of our lives, get things together. Our lives are in our hands and we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we lose hope when we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are from the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are from amongst those who have accepted the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are from amongst those who have declared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one. Allah has showered us His mercy by making us Muslims. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make us Muslims, and we know how weak we are today as Muslims, if Allah didn't make us Muslims, who would even come to us and invite us towards Islam? So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us to be from those who will enter Jannah, this in itself should keep us happy. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this, and if He didn't give us anything else, it was more than enough. But Allah through His mercy, He gave us a chance to get to Jannah. Why? He made us from the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made us Muslims. He made us from amongst those who read the Quran, who have lessons from the Quran, who we from amongst those who come from a deen which is a way of life. So much bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And even on top of that, we may come from good homes, we can afford to send our children to good schools, you know, we have children, we have good health, subhanallah. Well, how is it that we can actually be depressed? And thus, I am harping. I know I am harping. Why? Because of the seriousness that we find the Muslim ummah today in. We seriously in a situation whereby we are just complaining time and time again about depression. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us out of the evil avenue of depression. My dear fathers and mothers, my dear brothers and sisters, get yourselves together. And this is also a message to myself. We want to get ourselves together no matter what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only tests us. Why? Because He loves us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress anybody. So seek refuge in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam says that, listen, I'm only complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I know from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which you do not know. Remember, he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him, what does he say? He says, Ya baniya, idhhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf. فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفُ وَأَخِيهِ وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. What a beautiful ayah. What beautiful words of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam. Such words that are apt, that can be used to round up everything I was speaking just now about depression and about the fact that we shouldn't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, I know from Allah that which you do not know. So, O my sons, go and find out about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. I know from Allah that which you do not know. And do not despair. Do not despair. Do not lose hope in the relief. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Indeed, no one despairs and no one loses hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except those who disbelieve. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Such words to round up everything I was saying about depression. Look at the words of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, and remember, he's a man being tested. Three sons are away from him. He is in old age. Subhanallah, and he is the one who is saying here, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Nobody loses hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except except those who have disbelieved. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We are from those who have believed. We are from the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are from the ones who have declared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one. It is impossible for us to lose hope. That's why I say it again. How can a Muslim actually suffer intense sadness? As soon as shaitan worries you, as soon as shaitan whispers to you and reminds you of the low moments in your life or the difficulties that you are going through, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that you are a believer. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for you Jannah. Remember that if Allah loves you, He will test you. And with every test that you pass, He will raise your rank in Jannah. Allah wants better for you. Allah doesn't oppress. In everything that He does, there is good for you. Be patient and pass the test of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. I will stop with this ayah today because it is a beautiful ayah. I want us to ponder over it, go back, read over it, memorize it, understand it, digest it, and use it every single day of your lives. Innahu la yay'asu min rawhillah illa al-qawmul kafirun. Nobody loses hope in the mercy of Allah except those who have disbelieved. Anyone who feels depressed now and is listening to this broadcast, listen to the words of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam here. He is in a predicament, in a difficult situation, and he is the bigger person. He holds himself together. He doesn't fall prey to the heat of the moment, and he gives the best of advices. I want you to take this advice. Go and read over the ayah whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, teaching his children, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ, that indeed nobody loses hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except those who disbelieve. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us away from the evils of depression. And those of us who are depressed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala soften our problems. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts content. My dear mothers, my dear sisters, my dear fathers, my dear brothers, whatever we are going through, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly. If you feel your heart is discontent, make it content by continuously remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Him through the different adhkar taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remembering Him how? By not losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you are a believer, and there's no room for a believer to lose hope in one Allah, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Ghafoor Rahim, the most forgiving, the most merciful. I leave you with these words. Anything wrong mentioned in this tafsir is from myself and shaitan, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His forgiveness, and everything correct is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Join me again tomorrow insha'Allah. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.